There is a very well-known Minhag Yisrael, a custom to invite every night of Sukkot one of the Zayin Ushpizim, one of the seven special celestial guests. Where is the source of this Minhag? From where do we learn this? So, the Yotzer HaSatara brings down that it says in the Chumash is the source one, B'sukot teshvu shivat yamin, you should sit in the sukkah 7 days. Kol hazrach b'Yisrael yeshvu b'sukot. All the citizens of Israel should sit in the sukkah. So the question that's asked is, there's repetition here. You should sit in the sukkah 7 days, and all of the inhabitants should sit in the sukkah. It begins, b'lashon nochach, teshvu, and then it turns into, right, you, and then it turns into, l'shon nistar, they. So the Ari HaKadosh explains the Likutei Torah. B'sukot teshvu, they should sit. Who is they referring to? They are referring to these great tzaddikim. That they should sit in the sukkah. And when they sit in the sukkah, who joins them? Or who do they join? They join Kol Hazrach. So B'sukot teshvu shivat yamim, the first part of the pasuk is a reference to the shpizim, and Kol Hazrach Yisrael yeshvu b'sukot, you, the third person, is a reference to all of Israel. And in fact, the Sfarim point out, and this is brought down in source number 2 in the Zohar, Rabbi Abba said, Abraham, five righteous people in King David, established a residence with him. So Abba Avinu comes with his whole exalted entourage. This is what is stated. You shall dwell in Sukkot 7 days. It says 7 days and not bit Shivas Yamim. It doesn't say during those special days, but rather the Sukkot Teshvu, who should sit? The Shivas Yamim should sit. So this is a further proof that it's not only the Sukkot Teshvu, who is the beginning of the Pasuk referring to, if the end of the Pasuk is referring to Kol Hazrach Yisrael, every inhabitant, then who's the beginning of the pasuk referring to? It's referring to another group of people, i.e., the Ushpizim, these special guests. But rather, it's also hinted at in Shivas Yamim. It doesn't say you should sit in the sukkah during the 7 days, but rather, B'sukos Teshu, who should sit? The Shivas Yamim. These 7 days, these are Shein Shivas Ushpizim, Heimatzvam Yoshim Vatsukkah. They are considered 7 days, and what that 7 days means, we're going to look at a little bit later in Mirtz Hashem today. So, whether we can appreciate these hints, on whatever level we can appreciate them, this is the basis, the scriptural basis of understanding that these Ushpizim come to dwell with us. Now, we have a number of questions that I'd like to raise. Question number one is, well, what impact does that have on our lives? Like, what does that mean? Okay, so they're coming to our sukkah, and as Ativa Moadim points out, Ein Hadvrim Kipshutam, it may not be literally they come to our sukkah, and however he says, there are many tzaddikim who say they have seen them, and others say if you believe they come, the emun is even greater than seeing them. So whether they actually appear, and if you're on a level to appreciate them appearing, we believe that they appear. What does all this mean? How do we relate to this information that the Ushpizim are coming to visit? The Ushpizim literally means our guests, our celestial guests are coming to visit us in the sukkah. How does that translate into our lives? That's question one. Question two is, why is it Dafka on Chag HaSukkos that the Ushpizim come? Pesach is also a time for 7 days. Why don't we, right? In Pesach we say, you know, kol dichtin yesev yecho. We open the door. Anyone who wants to come, come in. So why isn't it that, you know, here comes through the door the special Ushpizim on Seder night and they stay with us for 7 nights? What is it about Sukkot specifically that the Ushpizim come? And within these two questions of how do we relate to the Ushpizim, question one, and question two, why Dafka and Sukkot, we need to also understand, as almost sub-questions, the whole idea of Sukkot being a time where not only we eat in the sukkah, but we also sleep in the sukkah. Teshvu kein taduru, we should live in the sukkah. What is that all about on a symbolic level, on a spiritual level? As well as we know, as our second sub-question, that Sukkot is the time of Simcha Paris Kalatz. It's the time where the idea of joy is repeated over and over again in the Chumash. And what is significant and special about Sukkot is that we have this aspect of joy as connected with this whole idea of Du Shpizen. So we have a work cut out for us today, my friends. We'll begin with a little bit of insight in what does it mean to bring these guests into our home on a practical level. Then we will speak about Amir Tzashem, why Dafka on Sukkot do they come to our home? And then almost like a sandwich, we'll end with, on a more, philosophical level, I call it esoteric practical, what does it mean to bring the Shpizen into our homes? So let's begin. The Yotzer HaTorah points out, in source number 6, but Sefer Machzik Bracha from the Chida V'chei Mishari Tshuva Katvu Yesh Lavlik B'Sukkah Zayin Neiros Keneged Zayin Hushpizin. So the idea of lighting 7 candles in honor of the 7 Hushpizin. The Kaf HaChaim writes, we light only 1 candle every night for the Zayin Hushpizin, and when we light the candle we say, this on the first night this is in honor of Avraham Avinu, second night this is in honor of Yitzchak Avinu, etc. We know that when we invite them in to our sukkah, we invite them in with a declaration. One such declaration, this one is found in the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden, but there are quite a number of variations. We'll do it in the English, not in the Aramaic, in 5. Enter exalted and holy guest, enter exalted and holy fathers, and sit in the shade of the exalted faithful one. Enter Avram the compassionate, and with him Yitzchak, who is bound on the altar, and with him Yaakov, the complete one, and with him the Moshe, the faithful shepherd, and with him Aaron, the holy priest, and with him Yosef, the righteous one, and with him David, the king, and the Mashiach. You shall dwell in Sukkot, dwell exalted guest, dwell, dwell, my faithful guest, dwell. I'll just make mention here, because I don't think we'll really get to it later. There's an interesting question which is raised in source number 27. One can look there. There's a difference of opinion of what order do we invite the Shpizin in. This follows the Zohar's order that we invite them in based on their spiritual levels, and each one corresponds to one of the Zayin Midos, one of the 7 different spheres, and therefore Yosef is right before David. There is the Ashkenazi Minhag, which is chronological order, which should be Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, and David. And those are 2 different variations, albeit the Divrei Chaim from Sons points out that if you follow the one that we began with, where it's in order of the Midos, and that it's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, it turns out, and this is very interesting, that the day the Shpizin of Moshe Rabbeinu turns out is the day of that previous year of his Yortzeit, the same day of the week, and so too with Aaron. And that's why he teaches the Pasuk on Umot Bahar, Aaron will die on this mountain, Ve'haseif Elamecha. On the same day that he dies, on that day he will Ve'haseif. He will be gathered in on that same day of the week with the Shpizin to one sukkah. And indeed, this is true, right? This past year, Monday night, Tuesday, was Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, which was the Yortzeit of Aaron HaKohen. And this year, the Shpizin of Aaron, if you follow this order, is indeed Monday night, Tuesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday being the last day, the Shpizin of David HaMelech. So take it or leave it. These are 2 different approaches. Each have valid sources to support them. Continuing, aside from lighting a candle, what else is done? So some of the Sfarim bring down, not quoted here, that one should have a sign of who, and their different posters, and their, we got a poster last year with a wheel on it, and, the wheel turns to this person's name. You should have some indication, on your sukkah of who is invited tonight. As well as in source number 7, we have the following. Rav Yaakov Hillel Sefer, on the first day of Sukkot, Avraham Avinu is our guest. On the second day, Yitzchak Avinu, on the third, Yaakov Avinu. Each of the 7 days is honored by the presence of one of these Shpizim. The Zohar says that when we make a Brit Milah, we must declare, this is a share of Eliyahu. Right? Zaki says Eliyahu. Otherwise, he won't come. The sages learn from this that the same holds true for inviting the Shpizim to the Sukkah. We must prepare a special chair and say, this is the chair of Amar Avinu, or this is the chair of the Ushpizim. There we are, sitting in the sukkah, surrounded by divine presence, with Amar Avinu as our guest. And take a look at Source the Rain in the Chidah. He speaks about you should bring a chair with a night's covering on it as remembrance for the seven holy and exalted guests. And other Svarim speak about that you should put Svarim on this chair and make it clear, the father should make it clear to the family that this chair is used for the Shpizim, it's a chair of Kedusha, it's not to be used by the members of the house. Is it clear to have seven chairs, one chair each night for the special guests that come, even though all of them come with him? That's a little bit unclear. But what is clear is that the chair should be special. In Geula these days, they sell a special covering of the chair with the different symbols of the Ushpizim on it. And there is a basis for that. If you want to take, you know, some, go to the fabric store and take a nice piece of velvet or fabric and put that on top of a chair, whatever it may be, that you designate one chair, that this is the chair of the Ushpizim, and say, this is the chair of the Ushpizim, like the Kisei of Eliyahu HaNavi, that it's not just an idea, you know, come Ushpizim, come to my sukkah, I have a chair waiting for you. In fact, as far as I mentioned, and this is in source number 10, that Eliyahu HaNavi himself also comes to the sukkah. The sukkah's teshu shivas yamim is Rosh Tevo Tishbi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. And there are those who also shenagu lachim kisei b'kuva b'sukkah l'chvor Eliyahu HaNavi. V'alam v'nichim sifrei kodesh. There's a special chair perhaps for Eliyahu HaNavi also in the sukkah. It's going to be a pretty crowded sukkah, my friends. And you put svarim there. So if you ever wonder what to do with all these svarim in the sukkah, here's the solution. You don't need a table. You have the chairs, the special chairs for the Ushpizim. I would just like to mention that we understand the Ushpizim are sitting in our sukkah, and that explains, again, the Otzar Satara brings down in source number 9, according to the Shlach Kadosh and others as well, that our behavior in the sukkah has to be with extreme, you know, not seriousness, but without this Kol Shrosh, we're sitting in the spheres of the Shechina, of the divine presence, of these holy guests, and our behavior should reflect this. You shouldn't have she'asur lios lo panimatsuvos. V'kavachomer mashu mikas chalila, you should be sad, you should never get angry in the sukkah. You have these exalted guests, and therefore you should treat them accordingly. Before moving on to our second question, and I think we've covered a lot of the practical aspects of a first question, what does it mean to bring in these guests? A question that I had, which I emailed Rav Yitzchak Reiterwitz, who's like a walking computer in terms of knowledge, b'chasdei Hashem, was a question that I had heard and I wanted a source for, that do the wives come as well to the sukkah? Is it just to Ushpizim, or do the wives come as well? So he emailed me back a piece from the Nitei Gavriel, which is a sefer that we looked at a number of years ago in talking about the whole idea of Orla and upsharing. And there in his Pesicha, he speaks about in source number 10, Katava Sefer Midbar Kodesh from the Belzer Rebbe. Yadua de Kesha Avos Olam Baim Lesuka, as Mimele Baim Haimahos Gamke. The Imahos also come with the Avos. V'nirma zeh b'pasuk, and this is hinted at in the pasuk, Kol hazrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos, all the inhabitants, the Ezrach, the citizens in Israel will sit in the sukkah. Ezrach im hamilui, which means Aleph. You spell out the Aleph, not just letter one, but Aleph, Lamed, Pesofi. You spell out the Aleph, the Zion, the Resh, and the Che. It's the same amount in Gematria as Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. So here you see that the Avos, the Imahos, come together. Does that mean you need a chair for them as well? Doesn't seem that way, but recognize that they are also joining us. The question that Rabbi Reiterwitz left is a Sarachiyun. It seems from the Belzer Rebbe that the Imahos come. Does that mean that all the wives come? You know, if you put out a chair for everyone, David HaMelech had 18 wives. I mean, our sukkah is expanding as we speak here, my friends. I'm not sure you really want to hear this year. You better start building a bigger sukkah. Be that as it may, so there is an inyan that not only do the avos come, surely the imahos as well come, and perhaps one can say that the wives of the other great leaders come as well. Okay, so we invite them in, we have a special chair for them, we light a special candle for them, we bring them an invitation, we point to this chair and say, Zeh HaKisve, this is the chair, and we try to make them feel as comfortable as possible. So now we come to our second question, which is, and this is articulated in the Vayomer Yehuda, the Rav from Telstone, 11a, L'chara madu anu mazvinim et avoteinu o'ktoshim anikrim u'shvizi b'chag ha'sukos bilva. Ve'ein mazvinim otam b'chag ha'pesach. Why don't we invite them on Pesach? Shavu shivos yamim, it's also 7 days. Ve'ish bo zayin yamim lo zayin u'shvizi. Fits perfectly, 7 days, seven u'shvizi. Why not? So I'd like to look at a number of answers, and I think what the answers will give us is not only speak about the u'shvizim, but hopefully will empower us and inspire us to what the sukkah is all about, the holiday as well as the sukkah itself. The answer that he gives is the following. We look different on sukkahs. On sukkahs, we just come after Yom Kippur. It's right after Mechilas Avonos. We are zachim v'nikiyim. We're pure. Therefore, our faces are me'iros yoter. They're enlightened. They're happier. We're coming off the simcha, right? There wasn't a greater day of simcha as Yom Kippur. It's still on our faces. And therefore, when we want to invite these great ushpizim into our sukkah, we want to look our best, right? We have very important people coming. These are the greatest leaders, right? The greatest shepherds of Klal Yisrael. So you want to look your best, not only physically, my friends, but you want to look your best spiritually. Pesach is, 6 months down the road. Therefore, this is the appropriate time to invite them in when we are spiritually shining and at our best. That's one approach. The second approach, which we'll develop a little bit more, begins in Minchas Michal, and he says, Yesh mefarshim shepirshu das shivu ushpizim, einam mevakrim elo rak besukah, shibayit shel arai, velo bebayit shel keva. The ushpizim can only come into a temporary home and not to a permanent home. And the reason is clear. Vasiva lekachi shibayit shel arai kol kulo kodesh. It is completely holy. Not only is the schach holy, even the walls are holy. As the Zohar Kadosh says, it is the shade of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why there is no way, no matter how much, my friends, we can clean our house, but we know that, and this is again a spiritual concept that we could perhaps add to Minchas Michal, our houses take in everything we've said all year. The Lashon Hara, the anger, the insults, whatever it is, all go into the wall. So as much as we clean our houses and we scrub down the walls, right, the walls have the ears, And Pasuk in Chavakuk, Eva Mekir Tizak, the stones cry out. There is an entity to them. The Yishvizim, the spiritual beings, can't be in such an environment. And the sukkah, which is called Kulo Kodesh, which means, my friends, that we have to behave in the sukkah, right? Parenthetically, we have to behave in the sukkah, which reflects its Kedusha. So here, the Yishvizim feel at home. The Shiva Shalom develops this, and he says, in 13, Dikmevan Chen Shruyim Bo Lomos Al Yonim. Where do the Yishpizim live? Where does Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Avraham David, Yosef, where do they live? They live up in Gan Eden. And they live in Kedusha Elohim's Kokach. They live on such a high level, they can't come down into this physical world. The Rakba Sukkah, listen, my friends, our Sukkah, right from the answer, we're learning about what we should appreciate in our Sukkah. The Rakba Sukkah, he says, Shavira Sukkah, Himao Lomos, Hel Yoni, Shalom Almadein. The air in the sukkah, it's not from this world, it's from an otherworldly air. And therefore there's shorah kedusha etzem sukkah. There's holiness on the sukkah itself. And therefore the avos, the shiva saroim, can come into our sukkah. And this is the idea that Rav Wilson speaks about in Munari Techa, that if we appreciate that the sukkah is a place where we have the Sila Demnusa, we have the shade of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, now I can appreciate the idea of sleeping in the sukkah. Because when you sleep in the sukkah, it's an act of bitachon. That Hashem, I'm like a baby in its mother's arms, that I know I'm being taken care of. even when I'm sleeping, I know I'm totally surrounded by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like Chizkiya Melech says, Ani shachafti vayishana, I'm going to sleep on my bed, and I know, Hashem, you're going to fight my enemies for me. And this is the idea of sleeping in the sukkah is like the utmost of letting go and being surrounded by that faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, as Rav Yaakov Hillel, Rav Lev points out in his books on the festivals in Source 15, Hashem descended in a cloud on Har Sinai to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Later, he descended in a cloud in the Mishkan. The cloud was a spiritual entity that rested on the mountain or in the Mishkan. It represented the bond between the spiritual and the physical. The cloud was a temporary spiritual entity. The true essence of spirituality is manifest in the world to come. This world is merely a temporal means to reach that end, and this is signified by the temporary cloud. That same cloud devolved on the Jewish people and surrounded them in the clouds of glory, symbolizing that their entire physical, natural existence could be utilized to achieve spirituality and holiness through service to Hashem by observing the Torah. The temporary sukkah represents those clouds of glory enveloping the Torah Jew in the holiness of the mitzvot. It creates an environment, notes Rav Lev, reminiscent of Gan Eden, where man was enveloped with the splendor of God's presence. He was surrounded by all the physical and material aspects of the world, and through them created his ultimate eternal attachment to Hashem. This, in turn, is reminiscent of the ultimate bond with Hashem, the Olam Haba, where tzaddikim sit and bask in the splendor of God's presence. Hence, we will add, that's why the Ushpizim feel so comfortable to come down into the sukkah. Rav Lev continues, hence, one who is discomforted from dwelling in the sukkah is exempt from the mitzvah, because it ceases to be for him the manifestation of basking in the pleasure of Hashem's presence. Which I guess, my friends, is an interesting question and or critique for us. You know, some people will eat their suda in the sukkah, and again, weather does play a part of this equation. But let's say the weather is beautiful, and, you know, it's a beautiful day, and you're sitting in your sukkah, and you have your meal, whether it's a Chol HaMoed meal or a Yantif meal, and then you say, okay, let me get up and go read inside. You're sitting in the Seal of Devnusa, you're sitting in the shade of God. Right, there's some Sfarim who say, where should your Tehillim be? Where should your excursions be on Sukkot? Not off to some beautiful mountaintop. It should be inside the Sukkah. You have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting there. You have the Adonai HaKavod. You have it right there. Where are you running to? And if you're running away, the question is, do you really appreciate what you have? And even if you don't appreciate what you have, can you at least intellectually appreciate what you have to work on at some level to emotionally appreciate what you have? And Rav Lev ends, we'll just add this, that the sukkah is therefore a temporary dwelling, symbolizing the temporal world. For this reason, the main mitzvah in the sukkah is on the first night, because this world is compared to night. So here, my friends, we see clearly that why do we sit on the sukkah? Why do we have these shpizim on sukkahs? Answer one, we look different. We come off of Yom Kippur. The simcha is so incredible. Gevout. We're on a high. We're shining. Our faces are shining. The shpizim feel very comfortable. Second reason, the sukkah itself, the air of the sukkah, is the same air as in Shemayim. This is air they can breathe. The air in the home, the spiritual impurity in our home, no matter how physically we clean it, it's not conducive to these guests. So we need to recognize that when we sit in the sukkah, and this is noted in source number 17, we have to sit with really be'emo be'yira, be'kedusha be'tara. We have to be simcha rabba. We have to know what to do. That's why we don't bring the pots into the sukkah. We don't bring the garbage into the sukkah. This is a place of kedusha. So it's not just pots and garbage. The Arizal would be careful not to ledaber sichas chulun to the sukkah. He wants to have, you know, regular conversations in the sukkah. Right? Many of us, most of us, are not on that level, my friends. Right? Most of us bring our computer into the sukkah, and we do right to do. Tishuk came to do it, right? The Arizal, I'm not sure, would be on a computer, and therefore wouldn't have that problem. But we get the point. The point is that we should really be cognizant of what we speak about, how we behave, that we're really in a place that's like a different zone. And we have to appreciate that. That's answer number two. Answer number three is the answer that Siva Shalom develops at length. And he says in Source 18, V'yesh Lomar, Dinei kol shana hi yechida bifnei atzma b'briya. Every year is like a new entity of creation. Ve'ish ba'itchatzus b'briya, and there is a renewal in creation. U'b'chol shana nicholim b'pratut kol yinei klalut b'riyat ha'olam. And every year you have the details repeating themselves as if it's new. And that's why, in Rosh Hashanah, as we spoke about, there's Hitchatshus HaMelucha. There is a renewal of making God king and crowning him as king. Gam Kritat HaBrit Ben Kutsh HaBrit Hu V'Yisrael. Likewise, the covenant between the Jewish people and God, Mitchadesh HaBachol Shana B'Shana, is also reinstated each and every year. That each and every year, we are re-chosen, so to speak, to be the Am HaNivchar, to be the special nation. And it's as if each and every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates this special relationship. And as the relationship originally began, we became the Am HaNivchar coming out of Egypt. God surrounded us by these Adonai HaKavod, by these clouds of glory. Now, every Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem recreates us, as our special nation, he once again surrounds us by these special clouds of glory. And he says, that's why in the bracket of 19, Vayinyan Ezehu Nitzchi, this is eternal. Shebechol Shana Kasher Abriya Mitchadeshet, when the creation is renewed, U'mitchadeshet Gama Bechira, Shalam Yisrael B'Torazam, and we are reinstated as the special nation, the Am HaNivchar, Gama Shmira HaAlyona, likewise, a special guardian that Hashem guards us as being that special nation, Chozera Mitchadeshet, reinstitutes itself every year. And that's through the mitzvah sukkah. That's why the question, which is the question which we've raised in the past, why don't we have a remembrance for the man, remembrance for the be'er? Why is it only the miracle of the Adonai HaKavod do we remember? And the answer is because we're not remembering something in the past. We are reliving something in the present. The Adonai HaKavod Hu Nitzchi, it's through the mitzvah of Sukkah, we are able to draw down that continual watching and protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on us. Now, what does this have to do with Yishpizim? Here it goes. V'zeo gam kein inyan hu Yishpizim. Dinei shivas haroim, these seven special individuals, heim shitchilu ba'olam hatikun. They are all known for people who began creating something anew. Whether it is Avraham Avinu who created the world of monotheism, and Yitzhak Avinu who had to purify the world once again. And each and every one of them came and fixed something of their midah into this world. And that's why it's very fascinating. When we speak about the world is being recreated every year, and a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being recreated every year, it's as if all the tikkunim, all the rectification that these seven shepherds did also has to be recreated anew each and every year. And here comes the key for us, 21. U'kamo b'chlal came b'prat, what exists on the general exists on the specific. Not only is the world going through a rejuvenation, each individual is going through one as well. The sitting in the sukkah is right after the high holidays. Where each and every Jew, El or Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, works on fixing themselves. And when we're working on our fixing ourselves, these seven roim, these seven individuals come down to help us. Don't think that you want to start anew and you're there by yourself. No. Habal Tayer Messiah also. One who wants to become pure, he is helped. Messiah in the plural. Who helps him? All of the seven roim, all of these individuals, it's like we get a boost. Notim leYehudi mishamayim et kol ha'arot elyonos. All of these seven energies and forces and what they represent come to us on Sukkot in order to enable us to work through the tikkunim, the rectification, the changes that we need to have. So explains the Siva Shalom very beautifully. Why are the Yishpizim here on Sukkot and not on Pesach? The answer is on Pesach we don't need them. On Sukkot we need them. Sukkot, just like the world, goes through a metamorphosis and rejuvenation every year. Each and every one of us as well goes through this metamorphosis and rejuvenation. Each and every one of us starts like a fresh page, starts anew. And we have to begin to build, and we have to begin to make changes. And it's hard, and we're up against a lot of pressure. And we need help. We need to have that almost, that those people who are holding us, saying, you can do it. You can work on your chesed. You can work on your gvura in terms of setting limits in your life. You can work on whatever mitzvah it is. And we're there to help you. We're there to support you. Similarly, the Tiva Malazim Rav Gamliel, in source number 22, speaks about Dinei Yadua Shekol Shivas Haroim Hayu Balei Nisyonos. All of these seven people were known for individuals, being as individuals, not only who established newness, but who all struggled with different challenges in life. Amram Avinu had 10 challenges. Yitzhak Avinu had the Akedah. Yaakov Avinu had the love one with Esav, the selling of Yosef going down to Egypt. He had his share. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in Paro's house. Everything that happened to him when he was in Egypt. Aaron HaKohen, two of his sons died. Vayidom Aaron, Yosef HaTzadik, everything that happened to him when he was sold from his brothers. David HaMelech, whoa, look at all of David HaMelech's life, running away, all the challenges he had from birth on. These seven Roim know what Nisyonos are about. And these seven shepherds come right after Yom Kippur, Kidei Larot Ladam, to show us, right? You're beginning anew. You're starting afresh. Recognize Shibachol Nisayon Ba'im Ashiva Roim Umsayim Lo Bavara Kodesh. Don't think you're alone. You have help with all the different challenges that you're going to face. And that's why they were chosen as the seven individuals, if you're thinking, why these seven? Because they went through the Nisyonos, and Nisyonos is what builds a person. And we know that the word in 23, Nisayon, can mean a test. It can mean nasli donet li noseis, to raise up. And it could also mean menuseu rucha, ubricha, to run away. And that's our challenge in 24. When a person has a nisayon, he can either run away from it or he can deal with it. And our challenge is to be able to use this understanding and the fortitude that these seven special people give us in order to raise ourselves up, in order to meet these challenges head on, to become the best that we can be. And this is Ubemet Sulal Faninu Aderech Hashani Sulabi Maseim Akdoshim Shavotenu Akdoshim Roei Yisrael. Maisavot Simalabani. They went through challenges. They showed us how you can endure these challenges. And these, their challenges are really very much reflective of our challenges. Whether it's Yosef HaTzadik living in the Egyptian exile is very reminiscent of all the allures that we have. And Yosef is Omed Bitsitko. He had all that immorality all around him, right? They speak about the Medrash of Aleshur, that the woman would throw jewelry at Yosef in order for him to, you know, see him, and that he should notice them, all this immorality. And he, Aleayin, he was above all of this. He didn't fall into any of these traps. We have to look at the Nisyonos they had. People, lo aleinu, have a challenge, a very close one, being, you know, being taken from this world, and what we understand as an untimely time. We don't understand time. Vayidom Aaron, we have Aaron as our support. Whatever it is, we have these individuals who are there. Mesiras Nefesh, you have to really give yourself over for something, for a cause, and it's hard. Yitzchak Avinu, whatever it is. And that's what we have to understand, that these people are here, and we need to draw on their strengths to be able to help us go through whatever we need to go through. So let's just take this, my friends, one step further. If I understand that why Dafkan Sukkot's answer one, that we're different, we have the Haraspanim, we're shining. Answer number two, the Sukkot itself is shining. The Sukkot itself is a place of Ashras Hashchina. Answer number three, that the Ushpizim come down on Sukkot Dafka to help each and every one of us, to help us in our Olam HaTikun, in our world of rectification, to help us in our Olam HaNisyonos, in our world of challenges. But we can even go one step further. Why do the Yishpuzim come now, after El Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Rav Pinkus, in one of his sichos, in Zman Simchaseinu, in source number 27, points out, Chayav Shel Yehudi Morkavim Mishtei Marachot. a life of a Jew is really made up of two aspects. One is natural teva, right? We have a Metzius of Yehudi. We get into a certain rut, we get into a certain groove, and we just go, right? We dive in a certain way, we say brachos a certain way, and that's, you know, the way most of us are. And then there's the idea of pushing ourselves beyond, which is to be able to see that there's more to life than just going in the road, but really to be able laharchiva to mitzvot shelano, to expand our horizons, that we hakoach shemarchiva to mitzvot haklalit shelano hiasuka, and the ability to push ourselves beyond and say, I just don't want to live a life, you know, I'm alive today because I was alive yesterday, but I want to really live. And after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we've been so inspired, and we've come on really on a high, we almost turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu after Yom Kippur, after the seven times, Hashem Elokim, Lashana Bab Yushalayim, and we say, Hashem, I want to live on this pitch all the time. And Hashem turns to us and says, you know what, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And that's what the Sukkah is about. The Sukkah is about being an environment which is totally, you know, boosting you up into spirituality. You know, it's like the seminary girls say, seminary year is like living in a bubble, right? This isn't real life. We're going to go back to real life. Seminary life is a bubble. Everyone's talking about Kedusha and holiness and learning all day. You know, it's great, and we're flying, but we can't stay this way. Well, really, why not? Okay, that's a separate question. But the idea of a sukkah is that bubble. It's that almost like jump start to our year to say to a certain extent, which clearly the challenge is to take from the sukkah into our lives, and the integration of reading Koheleth on sukkahs is very much about that idea for another time. But this is the idea of being able to live in that surrounding of Hashem Hu Elokim, and that's why Dafka on sukkahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us in the asterisk in 28, Kishemagiya Chagasukar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machniso Tana Kivyachol Ubeiso L'Sukkah. He brings us into our home, into his home. The Sukkah is Sarat Chayim Kazo B'Tzilo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he gives us the best neighbors imaginable. He gives us the best friends possible through Shpizin Uloyim. And he says, I want you to live here, eat, drink, sleep, and I want you to feel what it's like to live in this presence. I want you to expand who you are. I want you to take in. You know, it's like someone once told me when they get a letter from Eretz Yisrael. Remember letters? This is before emails, yeah? That they would open it very carefully because they would want to breathe in the Avirut Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz, right? There's an idea. The Sukkah is just like deep breaths of Kedusha, of Silo Derem Nusa. And that is why our really our only job in the sukkah, aside from living there, is simcha. The simcha of knowing mitocha karapini mitchiraka vira zusha mitocha sukkah hi havirani matlanu. Right? It's not going up to these great heights in Colorado and breathing in certain air. This is the air we're talking about. The air of Kedusha. This is it. This is the type of air we want to live all year round. This gives us the greatest joy. And that's why when we say, Ulu Shpizin Uloyim, we're bringing in these great Shpizin. We're saying, this is who we want to really live with. This is how we want to live our lives. And Kol Ze Mechagev Gamotanu. When we see these great people, we talk about how special they are, it prompts me, it inspires me. Wow, if I have friends like this, I want to be like them, right? When you have friends who are, you know, running this gemach and this stucca and this chesed, you just get inspired. You just want to be like them running and doing it also. You get caught up in this. These are the type of friends we have. Mechayev Garotanu. It makes us, it demands from us that we should behave in a similar type of way. And that is our job in Sukkot, to eat, to drink, to sleep, to enjoy, and to recognize that I am in a different dimension. And the Shpizim help me concretize that different world that I'm in, who I am surrounded by. So this, my friends, is our, again, our third answer, the haros panim of ourselves, the beauty of the sukkah, and three, that the Ushpizim, on some level, we saw A, B, and C, the Ushpizim help us after Yom Kippur to jumpstart us. Whether it is that Tikkun HaChadash, it's that starting afresh, the new world in the Siva Shalom, whether it's the idea of Rav Gamliel, Rabinowitz, that it helps us with our Nisyonos, our challenges, or with Rav Pinkus, just having good neighbors, wants me to become, encourages me to become a better person, a greater person. There's a fourth reason, again, not mutually exclusive, obviously there are many, many more reasons, we get a taste, my friends. Tamu Ra'u Ki Tovu. Why Dafka on Sukkot to the Ushpizim come? And to preface this answer, which is really, I believe, a chiddush based on the Zohar Kadosh of Ta'alei Chayim, but to preface this answer, we know the Yosef Satara on Sukkot in Zohar Stern, number 30, points out. Chayga Sukkot Nikras Man Simchateinu. Chag HaSukkos is called the time of our rejoicing. As we spoke about, there's a sense of that simcha. And we just touched on a little bit of that simcha in Rav Pinkus, that the simcha of living with Hashem in that bubble for 7 days, there can be no greater simcha than that. The best friends, the best environment, the best air. It's amazing. He says here, the Zohar Kadosh writes, Shebechol eight, Shadam oseh simcha. This is the Gevaldik Zohar. That any time a person makes a simcha, avi ve'ima, his parents, af al pi shelo nimsoyim ba'olam hazeh, even if they're not found in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holech le'gan Eden ve'koren lahem she'evo lishtatek v'simchaso, Hashem takes them from Gan Eden to invite them to become part of your simcha down here, right? I'm sure you've heard or seen, or maybe you yourselves do, of people putting wedding invitations on Kvarim, right? They invite the person. It sounds absurd. Right? How are they showing up? No, there is a Zohar HaKadosh that says, and I quoted part of the Zohar HaKadosh in the end of 30, so if you want to see it inside in the Aramaic, where Hashem brings that to be part of your simcha. B'zeh muvan shevayim kol zayin haroi migan eden litareach imanu b'tzel sukkah. And the Zayin Roim are our, they're not our physical father, mother, grandfather, but they are our spiritual parents. And they come and join us in our Sukkah as well. However, listen to this, however. The Chayin Katav Sefer Yisov Shara Shavodim 31. Uben Yechabed Ava Eim B'Zeh B'Vam Gan Eden L'Mur Panav Aros Timchato Kigom B'Shabbatos V'Yamim Tovim. If you feel the Simcha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they're joining you. We've spoken about the idea they come by Chanukah Lecht, right? They're there. Oshel Set Sudas Bar Smila Livno, and a Bris, O Sudas Bar Mitzvah, O Beit Chatunot, a wedding, the Kiyotze, it's a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, right? Anytime you have a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, Boim Avi V'Imo Megan Eden L'Ropa Simcha Tov L'Yisvach Imo to join you. O B'Tnai Kodem L'Maisa. There is one condition. It's not the invitation. Tzarich l'shtateif v'simchato l'kud shabrichu yisbarach shmo v'sala. You have to make your simcha a Jewish simcha, a kedusha dika simcha. The hainu she'enu me'asuda she'asla tamidei chachamim v'aniim v'efyonim. You have to have tamidei chachamim, poor people, be invited to the suda, that they should enjoy it as well. And that's the condition. If you make a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu happy by inviting his people, the people that he wants to be invited, which is, if you invite Hashem's guest list, the Tamidei Chachamim, the poor people, then he will take your parents and all of you will come to the Simcha, so to speak. And that's why we know that there are people, let's say for weddings, who will sponsor a wedding of an orphan in Israel. And that's exactly this idea, that they're being mishtatef and ani in their simcha. And that mamish brings down the, or you don't have to go to that extent if you don't have the money, but there has to be, for your parents to be there, there has to be that sensitivity of being mishtatef a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does this all have to do with the Yishmizim? I haven't lost it. 32. So he says here, the Zohar Kadosh says that when you have a sukkah, sarich l'samech anim, You have to invite poor people to your sukkah. Matua. Mipnei shachelik shel shpifim hal yonim shemazvim shayach laniim. The shpifim don't eat anything. So what happens to their portion? Their portion belongs to the aniim. Now, if one doesn't invite poor people to the sukkah, and the Sfarim say, and or sends taniyim manos yafos b'machalim u'mashkim, or you don't send food or money for an ani to buy his food, right? If you're only focused on your needs on sukkahs, and you don't have other people, and aniyim aren't only poor people, they're people who need. They're people who need emotionally, spiritually. Some people even just need a sukkah. They don't have a sukkah. When you take care of the needs of others, then the shpifim can dwell in your sukkah. If you're only thinking about yourself, and you haven't invited other people, and or have made provisions before sukkahs to provide for other people, then you know what happens? Hold on tight, my friends. Kol ha'ushpizim kamim mishulchano v'omrim. The ushpizim get up from the table, and they say, we want to have nothing to do with this, and they leave. This is just about this person. It's not about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we see here something very fascinating, which gets back to our original question. That's not just when we invite the Shpizim to have this beautiful chair, and we say, this is your chair, Shpizim, and to have a beautiful candle, and to have their name, you know, have your kids make a beautiful Shpizim chart, which is a beautiful thing to do, and the kids can decorate things on the chair, right? All beautiful. But if we don't make Hashem's people happy, again, what is the condition for our parents and grandparents from the, you know, in the Gan Eden to come join our simcha? That we take care of Hashem's people as well. Likewise, in order for the Ushpizim to come to our sukkah, to join in our simcha, because sukkah is the Zman Simchasenu, the time of simcha, in order for the Ushpizim to come, and to dwell, there's a prerequisite that we make sure we've taken care of either physically at our tables or provided for in some way through Tomchei Shabbos or whatever organization in your local vicinity or and or Eretz Yisrael for the aniyim that are found there. And that's why says the Talmid Chaim the following, and this I believe is where his chiddush is. He says, Shesod ha'ushpizim ha'yonim hi'achnas arachim. The whole idea of the ushpizim, that's what ushpizim means. They're not called Shivas Haroim, they're not called the Seven Shepherds. They're called ushpizim, they're called guests. Because the whole idea of the ushpizim is predicated on these guests. And he says, Nimsav, 34 in the middle, Shazay Yisodin Yanu ushpizim achnas arachim, which means, sometimes a person will invite in these ushpizim, and they'll be on this high spiritual level, and you'll say, wow, you know, the sukkah's so high, and the ushpizim is so high, and you know, you're up there in the clouds, literally, with the ushpizim in, and God, and you're like, you know, in this meditative state. And you forget down here on earth, and you forget about the people down here, you've missed the boat. Avravino, the paradigm of inviting in guests. What does he say? Vitera kabla pnei shchina kdei lachni shloshan oshim lachilam. It's as if he said, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will be right with you, even though he was having, you know, a nevuah. Let me bring in these guests. This is showing you, no matter how exalted the sukkah is, we can't lose our focus. That the sukkah is about inviting in people down here, very, very, you know, practical. Ushpizi means hachnasar orchim. The holiday of sukkahs is about the holiday of guests. And this is why dafgam sukkahs is connected to ushpizi, is to guests, that our physical guests, almost so to speak, are the ones that bring in the spiritual guests. It's what the Talmid Chaim of Chaim HaKohen HaChalvan in 35 and 36 points out. Because on Sukkot it clearly says, "V'samachta b'chagecha, you should rejoice." Atal vincha v'techa v'avdecha v'mascha v'alevi v'ager v'yosom v'amano shebisharecha v'hita achsameach. When are you going to be happy? Only when you give to others. When you bring in for the others, then there's going to be that happiness to you. Why dafka Sukkot? So says Talmid Chaim very clearly, Sukkot kuskult chaga asif. On Pesach and Shavuos, Pesach we're planting, Shavuos we're just beginning to harvest. The end of the harvest season is Chag HaAsif. We brought everything in. There's no greater simcha when then, you know, your houses are filled with the grain, with the food. And at that moment, you may forget God. At that moment, you may forget those who are in need. Therefore, the simcha, and there is no greater simcha than to make another person happy. There's no greater simcha than to share what you have with others. And that, my friends, is what Sukkot is all about. Dafka on Sukkot, dafka on Chag HaAsif, dafka when I have specifically all of this blessing, does the Shpizim come and remind me. If you want the holy guest to come into your holy sukkah, make sure you make the guest down here. Make sure you share your good fortune with the others around you. In the few minutes that we have left, my friends, I'd like to go back to our original question and then Mirtzo Hashem will summarize. What does this mean for us? We have the chair, we have the aniyim, now what? Right? Do we ignore the Yishpizim the rest of the time? We've invited them in, and now we just have conversation with the people sitting around our sukkah. What does the Yishpizim mean after the original, you know, great introduction? So Sefer Mipisforim V'Sofrim brings down from the Pripsadik, based on the Zohar Kadosh, the Inyan Yishpizim, as we began with, is the Inyan of the Shivas Yomim, of the 7 days. The 7 days not only being 7 days, but a concept of the seven midos, of the seven spheres, of the chesed, the gvura, the netzach, the hold, the tiferet, not necessarily in that order. And he says that every day of the 7 days, one of these qualities, and these qualities are all qualities that are found within Klal Yisrael, come to the fore. So the quality of Amravinu is a quality of Gemilus Chasadim, of giving. The quality of Yitzchak is a quality of Baishanim, the quality of having this bashfulness of Yiras Hashem, this busha, this positive embarrassment of Hashem. The Rachmanim, right, these are the three qualities of Klal Yisrael, is Yaakov Avinu. Then you have Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the one who represents Torah. Aaron HaKohen represents Mamlachas Kohanim, being this kingdom of priests. You have Yosef, who's Yosef HaTzadik, and David HaMelech, who's the Leif Kol Yisrael, who's the Baal Tshuva. That's why Hoshana Rabbah, his Ushpizim, is a time we focus very much on the end of the Tshuva, the Hoshanos, etc., Staple Night Learning. Good. Every one of these days, one of these mitos comes out. Each of these midos comes to the fore, which means that on the first day of Sukkot, we focus in, we can tap into the idea of chesed. And that's what we should speak about, and that's what we should focus in on. In fact, Taras Emes, Rabbi Leibel Eger, in Source 40, says, Shanashim Sheshman Kishmot HaUshmizim, and the Mipisothri Sfarim quotes this, Machshivim L'Shman L'Kdushat Yom HaSukkot. That whoever has the name of that Ushpizim on that day, they have a certain koach on that day. They come to the fore. So if your name is Abraham, and you have a child Abraham, and which Mashma would be the same for at least the Imals, for the girls, their qualities would come out as well, Mashma. That they have, even though your Abraham may not be a Baal Chesed, but in him is that quality of Chesed. He just has to draw it out. Sukkot is the time to draw it out. So this is another idea to think about, that if you have, or you should invite, people with that Ushpizim's name on that day, right? So this is now going to change your guest list, my friends. Hate to do this to you. Hope you're listening with enough time to make these appropriate changes, or for the following year, that you invite people whose name is that name. You focus it on the person, particularly if they're kids. Careful jealousy between other kids. Think about this before you name your children. Try to name each one of them in Ushpizim. Kind of hard to change that now, but that's it, my friends. It was, it is. That tonight, Avi, you're it, Yosef, you're not just Yosela, you're Yosef HaTzadik tonight, get out! Okay. The other idea, which is brought down in the Sfarim, Lecha Chalibu speaks about at length, and I just very briefly like to share a number of insights, is every night of the Yishpizim, every day of the Yishpizim, not only have a chair, allow your Divrei Torah to surround this individual. Talk about Avraham Avinu, talk about Yitzchak Avinu, talk about the Yisroelos. Doesn't matter what you talk about them. Let them be, like any good host, They are the topic of conversation. You know, you draw them out, you talk about them, you make them feel comfortable. So if you really feel like they are there, this is what you should be talking about, and you should not ignore them, like a good host does not ignore their guest. If possible, and this is only if possible, the ultimate would be to try to l'shalev, to talk about these individuals as how they connect to Sukkah. So I'm going to give a number of examples. Like Afalibov goes through all of these, very small sefer, not in his regular sefer, it's a small sefer on Sukkah that someone bought for me last year. I want to go through three individuals in the literally 3 minutes that we have. Avraham Avinu is where we get Sukkahs from. When he invited in the guests, Vishanu Tacharet, you should sit under this tree. And in that schus, he has a mitzvah sukkah. We had the schus this morning, it's Erev Yom Kippur that I'm filming, to be at Neitz, at Maris Tavachbela, to sit under the beautiful trees of Chevron that have been around for many, many, many hundreds of years, thousands of years, to feel the ha'aros of the avos and the imos HaKadoshim. There's a kavach there. So Avraham Avinu, in the schus of inviting guests sitting under the tree, thought about this morning sitting under one of these olive trees, you have the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and that's schus, I'm going to give you the mitzvah of Sukkah. What does Avraham Avinu represent? Avraham Avinu represents somebody whose entire life is ready to do Ritzon Hashem, and he has that equanimity of being able to be connected to Hashem at all times. Where do you see this? In 41c, the Leif Simcha points out, Harabi Leif Simcha points out, that it says by the Akedah, by Yashkem Avram Abokir, Avram got up in the morning. You know what that means, that he got up in the morning? It means he went to sleep the night before, right? You have to get up, you have to go to sleep. I know for myself, I'm sure many of us can relate, that if we have something very big weighing on us, we can't sleep. Avram Avinu had the Akedah weighing on him. Man, that's like as big as you can get. And he was able to go to sleep. Why? He had total bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something that we need to think about. We're on our last page. That when we sleep in the sukkah, it's about letting go completely. Be an Avraham Avinu, whatever it is. Even in my state of sleep, I'm able to give myself over completely to Hashem. I know that He is taking care of me completely. That's the idea of sukkah. That's the idea of bitachon. That's the idea of being completely surrounded by the embrace, by the love of Hashem, which is what the sukkah represents. One more idea about Avraham Avinu. There's a very beautiful piece from the Vilna Gaon that said, Vashem, source 42, Beirachet Avraham Bakol, with everything. Bakol represents the three psukim that talk about sukkahs. Besukos Teshu, Kol Hazrach, and Leman Yeju. Because the midah of sukkah is the midah of Bakol, the midah of Istapkus, of being satisfied with what you have. And this is a great way the Olos Ephraim explains, the Gemara says, that sukkah is the mitzvah she'en b'chitzron kis. But you don't lose money on this. What do you mean you don't lose money? Ever bought a sukkah lately? That costs money. It means, no, much deeper. Obviously, Hasidic pshat. It means, there's no chitzron kis, means you don't lose out. Spiritually, you understand on sukkahs. In that temporal world, that kohela world, that whatever you have is what you're supposed to have. You're not missing anything. Generally, all year, if I have 100, I want 200. I have 400, I want 800. I'm never happy. On Sukkot, I don't have chesron kis. On Sukkot, I have the midah of bakol. On Sukkot, I have the midah of yistavkos, and that's the simcha. Ezu asher ha-samech b'chalko. That's the simcha of Sukkot, that I appreciate what I have. Instead of looking over my shoulder, you know, this one has a nicer house, this one has a nicer, we're all in the same booths, we're all in this temporary world. It just brings to the fore, appreciate what you have and not what you don't have. Yaakov Avinu. The midah of Yaakov Avinu is obviously the midah of bitachon. Halukim Areoti Modi Ad Hayom Hazeh, Yaakov Avinu says on his deathbed, he's able to say, it's not about me. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that leads me at all times, and wherever I am, I know he's going to direct me. That midah, he says, is the midah of Lekavos L'Hashem, Kavel L'Hashem, of always believing in Hashem, of being able to put your faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Zeh Tachlis HaSukkah, the end of 45, this is the point of Sukkah. Liten Kivui L'Adam, to give hope to a person. L'karev Adam Yoter V'Yoter, Sheir Kisha Kadosh Baruch Hu, Liv Kavrito Yoter V'Yoter, V'Yavoli De Tshuva, that a person should feel that closeness to Hashem and come to a level of Tshuva. That you never give up hope. Wherever you are, recognize, again, the idea of the sleeping, that you're surrounded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and when you feel that you're surrounded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, that leads to great Simcha. Finally, in Nemir Hashem, we will summarize. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's called an Eved Hashem. You know what an Eved Hashem means? It means that my only time right? An Eved doesn't have his own time clock. It's whatever his Adonis master wants, he does. Moshe Rabbeinu is called an Eved Hashem. It's the highest of the accolades possible. To be an Eved Hashem means that I am doing the will of Hashem. And he says you can have two types of servants. One servant the king relies on completely, and he gives him really hard work because he knows he can trust him. And the other one he doesn't trust, so he doesn't put too much on him. When we have challenges in life, and we work hard, and we're sweating and toiling in Avodas Hashem, and in challenges in life, instead of saying, oh my gosh, Hashem hates me, why is he giving so much to me? No. He believes in you. He trusts you. You're a loyal servant, and he knows that he can put more on you, that you can create more Kiddush Hashem in this world. And this is what we have to believe on Sukkot. The Simcha of Sukkot is the Simcha of what we sing on Simchas Torah, Ana Avda Dekut Shebrichu. I sing, I am the servant of Hashem. This grieves me the greatest joy, because I know that whatever Hashem puts on me, whatever I'm doing in my Asiyas HaMitzvot, whatever challenges I'm going through in my life, I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, believing in me and supporting me through what I'm going through. So, my friends, what we've tried to see, this exalted entourage, B'sukos Teshuvu Shivas Yomim, Kol Ezrach Yisrael Yeshuvu B'sukos. B'sukos Teshuvu Shivas Yomim, yes! On Sukkot, you, the Shivas Yomim, should sit. You, the 7 days representing the 7 seers, the 7 mitos, you should sit. With whom? With Kol Ezrach Yisrael Yeshuvu B'sukos. And our job is to make sure that we invite them in. We make sure that we have a place for them. We have a nice chair for them, a covering for the chair for them. We acknowledge this. We set it aside. We put Sfarim on it. We invite them in with royalty. We treat them with royalty. Why? On Sukkot. On Sukkot, because we look good. We look our best, spiritually, not physically. Physically, obviously, right? Simchas Yontif. Nights are close on Shabbos. We invite them in because it's the avira of Gan Eden. They feel at home here. We invite them in because they're here to help us. They're here to help us with our struggles. They're here to help us with our nisyonos. They're to help us to be the best friends in this spiritual bubble before we go out into, quote-unquote, the real world after Sukkot. What is our challenge on Sukkot? Our challenge is to not just live in that high spiritual world of Shmizim, but to come down to this world and invite the guests into our home, physical guests, rich, poor, doesn't matter, people who could use a sukkah. This is a great time for Bala Tshuva. You know, Shabbos Parsha Noach, it's at Shabbos around the world. This is a great time to get their feet wet, to taste, to appreciate the Kedusha. This is a beautiful time to invite in people who may not be aware of the spiritual beauty of Yiddishkeit. Invite people in. Invite the poor in. That's the simcha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will only have these Ushpizim come down here when we have taken care of the poor and of the needy. And my friends, when these Ushpizim are here, we have to treat them like any guests. Talk with them, talk about them, bring out their mita, talk about what Chesed is about, talk about what Gevurah is about. Whatever mita it is, talk about it, make it part of us, and be able to say Divrei Torah about them, and be able to try to tie it in to Sukkot, so that when this exalted entourage comes, we're ready for them. We greet them. Ulu Yishpozim Yilayim Kaddishim, come to our Sukkah, enter, enter. We are prepared the way, physically, spiritually, to allow this exalted entourage to become part and parcel of our Sukkah experience. L'chag Sameach.